130. This is SRN News.
Recent bank failures are serving as a warning about how fragile our banking system really is. As millions of Americans panic, do you know what central banks are doing? Well, they're actually buying up gold at record levels. They're relying on it as a safe haven during these difficult times. That's how confident they are in the dollar. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau, Christian author and evangelical leader to millions of people just like you. We're all Americans who want to protect our family's savings no matter what. I tell people the best option is to diversify their 401k or IRA into physical gold or silver with the help of Birch Gold Group. To see how it works, just text the word FAITH to the number 989898 to get a free information kit on gold IRAs. Look, there's no strings attached. It's not going to hurt you to take action now. So take the first step today and educate yourself. Get your free info kit when you text FAITH to 989898 right now. And I pray you and your family are greatly blessed.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by JB Windows and Siding. Call Jones Brothers. You'll be glad you did.
JB Windows and Siding has what you're looking for. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. No big surprises. Another hot with a little bit more humidity in the air and a good bit of sunshine. There will be spotty, scattered, random storms, especially in the afternoon and evening hours, fading out at night, low tonight down to about 68. Tomorrow, there will be a more generous supply of those hit-or-miss afternoon and evening storms. Still random, but more active on the radar. High tomorrow, 91, and then upper 80s on Friday. We may get a little break from the storms for a day or two. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 4.25% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. Federally insured by the NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your head.
1819 News.
Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall announces a settlement reached with a company known as Indicior Incorporated, who manufacture a drug called Suboxone. The settlement has to do with Indicior's attempts to monopolize the market for that drug. The $102 million settlement was made with 41 states, including Alabama, and the state will receive $1.4 million from that settlement money. Marshall says that Indicior Incorporated restricted critical access to the life-saving drug of Suboxone in order to exploit the market and maintain profits. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
A lot of people ask me, what can I do to actually make a difference in D.C. and my state government? Well, I use Quick Letter, K-W-I-K Letter. It seems simple, but the tried and true method to get their attention is by writing a real letter. I use the Quick Letter app for my phone to write all my representatives a real letter in a matter of minutes. Quick Letter automatically determines your representatives. You write or dictate a letter on your phone, then tap the name of every representative you want to receive that letter. Quick Letter handles the rest. Go to quickletter.com. or download the Quick Letter app today.
This week, the Birmingham City Council voted and approved some final measures so that construction can begin at the Birmingham Shuttlesworth International Airport when it comes to cargo shipping routes to Germany. The new cargo facility will be built for Kuhn-Nagel, which is a German-based global logistics company. $27 million will be invested in creating the 48,000-square-foot warehouse with 17 bays and loading docks. Birmingham is becoming a new secondary avenue for air freight that is alleviating the congested U.S. hubs in other major cities. A 32-year-old woman from Headland is under arrest and facing charges for hitting her boyfriend with his own car. Dothan police say that Marquetta Baker and her boyfriend were driving in the same car and arguing. When Baker became violent, the boyfriend pulled over and started to walk. That's when Baker took control of the car. The boyfriend was hit and had to be hospitalized with a broken leg. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. For Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's News and Views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Man must learn to rise above principle.
If you get a cough, please leave it alone.
Hey, mister, I don't mean to be telling tales out of school, but there's a fella in there who'll pay you $10 if you sing into his can.
I'm not here to make a record, you dumb cracker. They broadcast me out on the radio.
Fat broads and horse-faced lesbians.
Shut up, silly woman.
Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness.
After damning politicians uphill and down dale for many years as rogues, vagabonds, frauds, and scoundrels, I sometimes suspected, like everyone else, I often expect too much of them.
Is that how you conduct yourself in a democracy?
Joey Clark.
Welcome into News and Views. Afternoon, I'm your host, Joey Clark. Eddie Bader's in the studio.
How you doing, Joey?
Good, how you doing?
Hi.
Good to see you, Eddie. So, do you feel like your wallet is safer?
No, actually, I just took it out of my pocket. And
well, I'm just saying that the legislative session, I believe, is over.
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I hope the overtime bill passed. That's something that I don't know if it went through.
We'll get into that because Governor Ivey did a thing here. But we have Jeff Poor, of course, of the Jeff Poor Show there at 106.5 FM in Mobile and also the executive editor of 1819 News. Jeff, how are you this afternoon?
Doing well, Joey. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great to have you on the program. Well, I mean, you surviving this month? You surviving the city of Mobile or that whole area?
Well, I actually live in Mobile. I can see it if I go down to the bay. You can see the Mobile skyline. But Fairhope's kind of a sanctuary away from Mobile. But it's quite raucous across the bay these days, I hear.
Yeah, it's like that in Montgomery. There are a lot of folks. Like, Eddie, you drive, what, 30 minutes to get here each?
About 45.
Yeah. I couldn't do the commute.
I'm looking at moving a little further north, too.
So. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of the suburb living these days.
It's just like you guys that live in Prattville, and you look down the hill there, and there's Montgomery. It's a little like that. It seems like a whole world away, though.
Really is, and my pet peeve is the folks call up and complain about the mayor of Montgomery, and my first question is, well, do you live here? No, I moved 20 years ago. Like, well, you can complain.
Maybe,
you got every right to complain, but
back,
but I can't vote on this at all.
Right.
No, you lost that privilege when you skedaddled and went out on your own, as you're entitled to do.
Indeed. Now, Eddie was just bringing this up about the overtime, tax-free overtime pay. Governor Ivey made a move on this, right?
She did. And I think it kind of reflects a lot of people in the Senate chamber. But just that Arthur Orr did not. So you have an education budget chairman who's very protective of his turf. And he got a lot of these things built in. He put a cap, got a cap through on that overtime tax. At $25 million. Well, not a lot of people were crazy about the cap, but it went through. And then, lo and behold, the governor comes back with an executive amendment that would eliminate the cap, but they shortened the time of the tax break to, I believe, a year. It made it sort of a pilot tax project. So we're going to see kind of how it does first. But, yeah, it went through. So those of you who will work overtime won't be seeing any state taxes. You'll still see the federal taxes, but you don't see any state taxes deducted from those earnings.
Yeah, and I love the idea. The fact that it came from Anthony Daniels, they're from the Democrats, it's interesting, and maybe we can get more like that out of Alabama's Democratic Party. But I wish they would just... Why all this testing? Are they actually that precautious, that conservative in that sense? Or is it more, like you just said, the protectiveness of, I don't want to lose money?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. But I do think, for Orr, he denied a bunch of different tax credits and fought hard against them. And then he gave a big speech when they wanted to take... economic incentives, these tourism incentives would have been taken from the ETF, and he was a big time opposed to those. I kind of think of him as like a goalkeeper in some ways, a goalie, just knocking these tax ideas out of the way. So he's been a big impediment to the cut taxes crowd, but he's a guy who was here during proration and remembers those days. And it took a lot of work to get the budgets to where they are. So I guess he looks at it as, hey, I don't really, after all these years, more than a decade of scrimping and cutting and getting the state's physical health in order, I don't want to just give all that away in 1 year. So that's kind of a different, that's why he takes that approach, I believe.
Right. And it makes sense. I don't question Arthur Orr's intelligence. I just... wish there was more of an appetite. Like, the budget's almost too big. They keep growing government in the state.
We're not cutting government, because the state government keeps growing, and that's not a tenet of conservative governance, is it? It's not that. I mean, it certainly is wise to keep your affairs in order and your balance sheet even, but we don't need a government that puts that as a priority and never goes in the other direction. But furthermore, they keep talking about they were talking about all legislative session, about this forthcoming financial downturn or this economic downturn. And you and I, when there's an economic downturn, when they furlough us or whatever they do in this racket of radio, I mean, we cut back. We have to take some lifestyle changes. The government should have to do the same as well. Maybe we hold off on the broadband, rural broadband expansion, or some of these tax breaks, or whatever. Maybe teachers don't get a pay raise this year, God forbid. Maybe that's the way we ought to approach it, but there just doesn't seem to be a willingness from our lawmakers to do that.
Yeah, and it's frustrating that we're not going whole hog. It's a constant gripe of mine that we're not being bold and visionary. It's more... you know, somewhat sound conservative management. It's just not the direction I'd like to go. Again, folks, we're talking to Jeff Poor, executive editor, 1819 News, host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show. I'm also seeing here that Ivy, this anti-ESG legislation is actually law now.
It's law, but, I mean, it's not the bill that probably a lot of people had hoped it would be. They created some loopholes. They had to. But the idea was, Dan Roberts originally proposed it, if you engage in this ESG behavior, well, we're not going to do business with you as a state of Alabama. And you think, well, that's such a grand gesture. How nice of you to do so and make this political statement. But it is applicable to the ability of the business of the state to do business. And a lot of times the state can't find fundraising. The biggest time was with the prisons a couple of years ago, because the giving money to the state or giving money to power the state to be able to lease prisons did not fit the politics of the big banks, and it put the state in a bind. So the state's kind of looking at it saying, well, we just need to take these guys off the table altogether. If you want to do business with the state of Alabama, you're not going to have that criteria as something you take into consideration when you're making your financial decisions corporately. And I think they had to do so out of a survival or just a way to do business, you know, for the state, to serve the taxpayers.
Though, as you were suggesting, it does seem there are a lot of little loopholes for particular businesses, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're not going to totally freeze out the big mules, right? And you look at the BCA, and I don't know, the big journal in this state, sort of the Wall Street Journal of Alabama, is the Birmingham Business Journal, and it's all ESG and DEI. The business community has really embraced that. So I guess if you took it in its purest form and you implemented it, you would freeze a lot of big names in this state out. Because they have to do some ESG, I suppose. You know, RSA, Alabama Power, Regions Bank is another big offender, and they fought this bill, but they lost.
Well, and I'm looking, though, it says, this is a write-up from Craig Bonger there at 1819 News, the prohibition on economic boycotts by companies doing business with the state of Alabama does not apply to, quote, contract related to the issuance, incurrence, or management of debt obligations, to the deposit, custody, management, borrowing, or investment of funds, or to the procurement of insurance or other financial products, or a contract that would prevent the government entity from obtaining the supplies or services to be provided in an economically practicable manner. I said little loopholes a second ago. You could drive a few billion-dollar truck through that.
Yeah, and that is that's unfortunate, but I guess it was the only thing they could get done without totally debilitating the state. I guess so. We just have a lot of bad actors, I think, in the business community in this state that are really embracing this. But it seems to be something that's kind of going on everywhere, not just Alabama.
Yeah, it really is a global phenomenon, unfortunately. And before I shift gears here to some breaking news, it looks like Mike Pence is about to speak. If you had to judge this session, you've paid attention to a lot of these things, a lot longer and more of them than me. How would you grade this session?
But every session feels like very average, very mediocre. You never walk away. Maybe at the end of last year, you would have moved it up to the 2022 session, a B-. But typically speaking, there's always a bunch of big bills that conservatives really want to see get through. I think the critical race theory thing died. I thought that was a layup.
Yeah, poor Ed Oliver, man.
Yeah, we had him, you know, you sat in there with me when we interviewed him, and he was very confident about it. It just didn't happen. But, you know, the other big things, school choice, the lottery, gambling. I mean, what's the last big, big thing the Alabama legislature did? I would argue it's all the way back to 19 with the gas tax. But they haven't done big things in a while. And the last thing, big thing they did wasn't exactly something you would expect, raising taxes from a Republican supermajority.
Yeah, it's just a shame. I had somebody reach out wanting, you probably know the name, John Pudner on the show, and I know John not well, but I know him, and be happy to talk to him, but I think he was part of that whole takeover by the Republicans, and one of my questions to him is like, did it work out? You really had hoped, John? It's just, I know a few people that were involved with that, and it just doesn't seem like we got the big Republican conservative governance that they made it out to be when they first won.
You know, the thing we got, Joey, I mean, we do have a better, more responsibly managed state government than when the Democrats were in charge, but that's not what people were hoping for. I mean, it's a good thing, don't get me wrong, and there's a lot to be said about that, but we want less government. We don't want healthy government, if you know what I mean.
Well, and I asked you to grade the session, but it brought this question to mind. You've interviewed a lot of these folks at the State House more than I. And have they ever said, when you ask them to grade or assess the session, like, oh, we sucked this here? Or is it always, like, we had Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth on, and you know, he's like, oh, we're doing a great job. Every one of them I talked to, like, oh, we're doing great. If I'm grading myself, A+. Like, have you ever gotten, like, an honest answer from these guys?
They always grade themselves on a curve, Joey. Like, it's like they say, well, you know, we've got a lot of young members, and they're still learning the issues. They're still learning where all the light switches are. And, you know, all things considered, we've done pretty well given the circumstances. But people don't think that way. They look at the Alabama legislature. They could probably barely tell you who their member is, if at all. And it just seems like the same old, same old, same old, same old every single year.
Yeah, I feel like whoever it is in this state, whether it's an elected official or somebody behind the scenes, whoever has the most power in Alabama, like Alabama politics, I'm almost thinking it's kind of like being the tallest dwarf. Like, it's just we.
Right. They don't want big change. There's a system in place, and the people are there are people that are benefiting from the status quo. And I think there's a fear that if you come in and you really tinker with the current formula, the people that are in charge, the people that hold all the clout in the halls of power in Montgomery, there's always winners and losers in any kind of sort of change. And that's why the system is so resistant to the big changes, especially when it comes to some of the, conservative or populist things that are trying to get through the Alabama legislature.
Yeah, I'd like to see more out of him, but we'll keep pushing. And again, I'm looking at, I think his wife is introducing him now, but Mike Pence about to speak after announcing or filing paperwork he's going to run for president. Not just about Mike Pence, but as you see this field getting crowded with Pence and Christie jumping in this week, and Democrats seeing RFK Jr. continue to kind of surge and have a following, especially online, what do you make of this race that's really going to heat up in the back half of this year?
Well, it's still a two-man race. Look, everybody's looking at the national polls. Don't pay attention to those. McCain, at this point, in 2008, was mired in, like, this third or fourth. I think whoever... here's what I see happening, Joey. I think DeSantis can win Iowa. Trump doesn't do particularly well there. Then you go to New Hampshire. I think that's where Trump probably wins. And South Carolina's kind of crazy because you have two South Carolinians in that field. How does that really affect things? So, I think, watch Tim Scott. I think he's going to be the surprise of this cycle. And then on the Democrat side, talking about RFK Jr., the only way he could do well is if the Republicans are settled early on, and then you have like sort of like that Operation Chaos in 2008. We have a bunch of Republicans cross over, and they go vote for Kennedy over Biden. And that really kind of makes that go a little bit longer. But that's the only chance he has, because I find him to be more of a appeal to Republicans. As far as Pence, I was listening to his video this morning. It just sounds like he plagiarized Ronald Reagan. Can you really run as a Ronald Reagan, quote-unquote, conservative in 2023? I don't know. I think the party's more populist. I think messages of optimism, people are so jaded that they don't really buy into the shining city on the hill. We've been hearing that for 40 years now, and nothing seems to be changing in their view. So I don't know that the Mike Pence playbook's going to work, but we'll find out here shortly.
Yeah, we will find out. And I always appreciate your time, Jeff. And if folks want to follow what you're thinking about, writing about, talking about, how can they do so?
Twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. Trying to put it all there, so it's all there for you to see.
Oh, by the way, I noticed that you didn't mention Cordell West. I mean, that guy's going to win it all, right?
Well, he's running a third party, so he will. Maybe he can be the Ross Perot of 2023. Yeah, we'll see. Wouldn't that be something? The way this country is going, that Cordell West is taking seriously, just from the wokeness of America.
Well, I appreciate it, Jeff. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Joey.
Again, folks, Jeff Poor there of the Jeff Poor Show and editor, executive editor at 1819 News. And on the RFK Jr. thing,
yeah,
I sat down and I started watching, of all people, interviewing him. I believe it was Jordan Peterson. It just dropped this week. Yeah.
Okay.
And there was just a lot there. Like, and where I'm coming from is, like, the average CNN, like, prime time, something like 300,000-400,000. Mm-hmm. And the average age of people that watch, like, the nightly news is getting older and older and older.
They're falling asleep faster and can't turn it off.
Right. Now, I do wonder because my dad will just put on Fox News. It's like, how many O'Reilly reruns are you going to watch in your sleep, Dad? Anyway, this interview came out, two days ago. It now has nearly 700,000 views.
Get some traction.
And my point is, I keep seeing this, is that, Jordan Peterson's not an explicitly political show. He talks about all sorts of stuff under the sun. But when just one interview with RFK Jr. with a guy who's not that political is getting nearly a million hits, and it's nearly doubling what CNN gets on their primetime show. Mm-hmm. By the way, poor CNN with their new chief having to leave now.
They cut another guy, did they?
I know. It's just such a shame.
Oh, but Don Lemon did get a gig.
Right, he did.
Forget that.
Where did he get his gig again?
He's hosting some event. He's hosting something. It's a gig, though. And it's supposed to be a paying gig, so good for him.
So this one part, before we hit this break, I want to play this part of the Jordan Peterson interview with RFK Jr. And it's not just about RFK Jr., but Bobby Kennedy puts out this point of view that really is what I've been trying to say. And the fact that he's actually embracing it as a presidential candidate, there is a change. I've been asking constantly, folks, right, is new media going to start to sway politics and sway political elections? Well, here's Peterson asking RFK Jr. about new media, and I think his answer is, well, better than pretty much anything I could come up with.
How are you guys conceptualizing your move forward on the presidency campaign front in relationship to non-traditional media?
Well, you know, Jordan, I've been essentially in the corporate media for 18 years. So since 2005, I've been actively censored, you know, not all just for vaccine articles, but for all of my articles. And I was very, very active in those, on those media fronts for, you know, decades. But I've been slowly censored now to complete wall-to-wall censorship. And particularly during the last three years, we've had to figure out ways to get around that censorship. And so, you know, we've done that by using non-traditional media. I was on Instagram. I had almost a million followers on Instagram at one point. But then in the pandemic, they deplatformed me. So I'm
right. You're still banned. You're still banned on Instagram. Is that the case?
Instagram and banned on TikTok. You know, I'm interested to see what happens to you with YouTube.
Well, you know, they've left me alone. YouTube has left me alone. It's quite surprising because I've said things many times.
It's quite surprising, eh? I love Jordan Peterson. He's so damn Canadian.
My channel. They demonetized my daughter for a whole year for reasons we never did discover, but they've been completely hands-off with me. You know, they've added those warnings or clarifications now, and then especially when I talk to people like Bjorn Lomberg, and we'll get to that later, but I don't know what it is. YouTube has been hands off.
In answer to your question, when my uncle ran in 1960, television was a new phenomena.
Listen to this one.
And he recognized the power of television, that would have play a key role in that presidential campaign for the first time in history. And you know, he was able to exploit that and to win that election. In the 2016 election, Twitter played a key role in getting Donald Trump elected. You know, absolutely critical. He probably would, if he didn't have that Twitter account, he probably would not have been elected. Who knows? But I would say there's a good chance he wouldn't. Today, Twitter is still important. And I have now 1.2 million followers on Twitter. You know, I really didn't start actively doing Twitter until Elon freed it up. You know, because if I, you know, during the pandemic, I was mainly posting, you know, kitty cats and rainbows and unicorns. Because if I said anything if I talked about what I was thinking about, I would have been deplatformed. But once Elon took over, I started. You know, they unshackled me. And but also, I think this is going to be this year. Is going to be the political campaign that will be decided on by podcasts, and particularly because the candidates are not wanting to debate. So I not only is Biden not debating, but I think Trump may not debate. So I think people like me are going to end up we're going to really test whether these podcasts. And, you know, I was talking about Tucker having 4.5 million nightly views. Well, the podcast that Joe Rogan did with Peter McCullough got 40 million views. So that,
right.
So,
yeah, well, so, Rogan's a force of nature.
Yeah, so Tucker is 10 times what CNN is, you know, gets, and Rogan's audience is potentially 10 times what Tucker was getting. So I think the podcasts have the capacity this election for reaching people and allowing, you know, sort of dissident and insurgent candidates like myself to end run the corporate media monolith and to reach large numbers of Americans without going onto the networks.
Is he right? Well, I guess we'll find out. But when he tied that into his uncle, JFK,
right,
using television, remember how people said Nixon won the debate, the people listen on radio, but people watch the JFK one?
Yep.
He might be onto something. I've been suggesting it's too early, but he thinks this cycle is going to be decided by new media. We'll see. More news and views when we come back.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. For years, I've been asking you to call me at Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies. When you call Alabama Home Mortgage, from the moment we pick up the phone, you will hear the difference. We are passionate about what we do. To us, you're not just another applicant. When you call on us, you are trusting that we have your best interest at heart, and we do. We treat our customers like family, and that's why our customers turn into family, coming back to us time and time again. We know you have many options when it comes to mortgage financing, and we appreciate the opportunity to earn your business. We are excited to hear from you. Give Alabama Home Mortgage a call at 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com to complete an application on your time. Our passion is just one difference that sets us apart from the rest. It's not just a slogan. Call Alabama Home Mortgage because, folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
I see that spring a-coming is a-rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen them hot chicks since I don't know when.
And the price of eggs is rising, and I can't pay no more.
Honey, gonna raise us up some chicken.
Goodbye, grocery store.
This is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
And Mama's Produce.
Hey, Tammy, with rising prices, it seems like folks got the grocery store blues.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
So, y'all just come on down here to see us, and we'll show you how to raise up a garden, raise up some chickens. We can help you save some money so you can say,
goodbye, grocery store.
If you're hiring, it can feel like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. In fact, ZipRecruiter has helped a lot of business owners find their needle in a haystack, like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers. Because Telly Tires has grown a lot in the last few years, Marco needed to hire everyone from a receptionist to a store manager to a head mechanic.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill. ZipRecruiter helps me keep my business running.
Take it from Marco and millions of other businesses who've used ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter can help you find the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/RADIO. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
To say Abraham Lincoln got the worst press. I said, there's no way he got worse than me.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views Afternoon. I'm your host, Joey Clark. Eddie Bader in the house. And then the man who brought this song to my mind, Sky Mosley's joining us. How you doing?
Doing all right. What do we got here?
And on the line, we have Justin Bogey of 1819 News. He's a fiscal and budget reporter there. Hey, Justin, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, Joey, I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Doing quite well. I'm in a silly mood, but I'm going to try to be serious as I can be. Now, there are some folks, Justin, saying that this legislative session, the Alabama legislature just went through, is historic. How much work is that word doing?
they say that after every session, it seems like. But there were some historic things that happened this session, I suppose. You know, on the bad side, you have the historic budgets, the largest budgets in state history. I would say that's a bit of bad history. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning, I had almost forgotten about it myself. But, you know, it seems like ages ago, if you go back, they actually passed another $1 billion in COVID relief spending at the beginning of the session, too. So, you know, you're seeing more spending than ever between the two budgets and the supplemental bills. On the good side of history, I think the movement on the grocery tax was certainly historic. We have been, it seems like fighting over this for 20 plus years without any real movement. And for whatever reason, this year, things finally came together and there was some progress made on that. I think this overtime tax exemption is in some ways historic. You know, I wish that it was going to last longer than it's set to last right now, but really an innovative policy idea, which we don't see a whole lot of in Alabama. We're actually leading the nation and a way to provide relief for once. So I think that is historic. And the way that Democrats and Republicans came together behind that proposal, the grocery tax proposal, some other things. In some ways it was historic. But of course, that term is often overused and blown out of proportion a bit.
Now, but you think they should have gone farther. Just to underline this, that overtime tax relief, no cap, but it is going to only last, a year?
About 18 months, yeah. That was one positive thing I can say. The governor came back with that bill and got rid of the cap. That's good. But she also shortened the window on it by, about a year and a half, which isn't good. You know, I would suspect that bill, assuming it works out pretty well and doesn't cost the state a whole lot more money than they think it's going to, that could be renewed moving forward. And again, on the grocery tax, I think that's a step in the right direction, but it would have been better if they had left that 3.5% growth requirement out of it. It could have been phased in fully by next year. So in that case, some progress, but also a bit of a missed opportunity on that one, I think. But hopefully that'll come back around and, maybe growth will be better than expected and that'll get implemented by next September.
Well, let's hope so. But if you had to just look at the overall aspects of the session, let's start with the bad. What are some of your biggest disappointments?
Well, again, back to the budgets, having the biggest budgets in state history. From my perspective, that's not something to really brag about I've heard several references to we had more money to spend than ever. Like, that's a good thing. Well, that money obviously came out of taxpayers' pockets. I think those other tax reform bills that died in the Senate, that's certainly a negative to me. We had a chance to, get rid of the lowest income tax rate, to start bringing the top rate down. That's something a lot of other states around us are doing. And if we really want to stay competitive for people and businesses, I think that's something that continues to need to be looked at. So those are both a bit of a letdown. I thought there was a really good bill on, exempting gun safes and safety devices from sales tax. That one died. There was a Pregnancy Resource Center Act that died, which, basically would have let you make a tax-deductible donation to those types of centers and really probably could have helped a lot of people out as we're moving forward, after the Dobbs decision a year or so ago. So those are some of the kind of negatives I see, but, there were positives.
I mean, like the Yellowhammer cookie, I think, got passed, right?
Yeah, that one made it into law. It was signed by the governor, pretty swiftly, so it's sort of amazing some of the things that we, waste time on. It seems like that could have been a proclamation or something and not had to actually, waste legislative time on. But, they like to pass those kinds of things.
Now, you've been watching this longer than I, the Alabama political scene. Are there things people need to watch, even though the session is now over, like certain players to watch?
I don't know. There's still been rumblings about potential special session later in the year. It seems like that talk has died down a little bit. But, you know, I think we saw from Speaker Ledbetter just a few days ago, you know, talking about gambling again and why it wasn't an issue this session, but still working on it, still having meetings on it, still thinking about it. So I think that's always kind of in the background, something to watch. It's not a matter of if it comes back, it's a matter of when it comes back. So if they did a special session later in the year, that could certainly be something to watch for. You know, we heard nothing about Medicaid expansion this session after a whole lot of rumblings and rumors about it. So, you know, I think that being so quiet, that sort of raises some alarm bells. That's something to watch in the future. And, you know, we still don't really know where Governor Ivey and others stand on some of those issues.
And for those who don't know, they should, but it would take the governor to call that special session on a particular topic.
Yeah, and that's another piece of legislation that actually failed. There were a couple of bills out there that would have allowed the legislature to, you know, basically poll members and call themselves into a special session. But those bills went nowhere, and so that would ultimately be up to the governor. And sort of in that same realm, you know, there was a bill to limit the powers of the state health officer, which has obviously gotten a whole lot of discussion in the past 2 or 3 years about, you know, how much power that position should have. Should it be appointed by the governor? And that bill ultimately did not make it out of the Senate either. So there's still some work to be done on issues like that as well.
Well, they got to leave some room to, I mean, they can't finish all their business. What a shame it would be if they had a regular session and they had nothing to do.
And I was looking back, there were 850 bills or so, I think, introduced this session. I'm not sure what percentage actually ended up passing, but, you know, we waste a tremendous amount of time on some of these things like state cookie and all of these local bills that come through where, you know, a lot of times that power should be left up to those communities. So, yeah, there's always much more work to be done.
Well, I always appreciate your insights and your time, Justin. We'll stay in touch. So how if folks want to follow your writing, what you're thinking about, how can they do so?
Sure, they can go to 1819news.com, and you know, if anything important is happening in the budget, fiscal policy world, I'll be writing about that, you know, whether the session's ongoing or not. And 1819news is just a great place to go and get all your statewide news coverage.
Yes, sir, it is. Well, I appreciate your time as always, Justin. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much.
And Justin Bogey of 1819news. So how you doing today, Scott?
Doing great. Joey, it's
great.
It's a beautiful day. Broke out my summer Hawaiian shirt collection.
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts.
See Legs McGee over here?
No. I'm not looking over there.
Better get your sunglasses on.
Really?
I don't skip leg day, brother.
Proud of it.
No. You got to show them off.
Skips the tanning bed, but
yeah, I definitely do that. I am. What's that song? Blinded by the Light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you're looking good though, Joe.
Yeah, that's me.
The boss.
Very very laid back today. It's good to see you like that. Must be relaxed.
Yeah, I'm trying to relax into the summer. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Summer of Joey?
Summer of Joey?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
It's going to be laid back.
What does that mean?
We could do whitewater rafting. We could go to the beach. We could do parasailing. We get best friend bracelets.
Why does this remind me of the plot of how Stella got her groove back?
Ooh, Joey gets his groove back. We go into Jamaica.
No. Yeah, I open my big yapper and give Eddie this idea. I don't know. No, I don't want to go to Jamaica. It's too expensive.
Expensive? It might be expensive to live there, but it's the cheapest vacation I think I've ever
had. Gracious. No, one thing I could do, a trip we could do.
Yeah.
Sweet Creek.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we should do a get-together over
right
there.
Down the That's road. A good idea.
Yeah. Sweet Creek Farm Market, right off of 231 South, folks.
I'm going to come hungry, just so you know.
Just a few miles past Taylor Road there, and you're always hungry. Right. That's your secret.
Just so you know.
You're always hungry. This guy over here, he's like, I'm eating light today when I sit down.
I was eating healthy.
He's got sushi.
Oh.
And then he's like, I'm eating healthy. And then he opens up the rest of his bag there, and it's a big honking piece of red velvet cake.
Well, he ate healthy, and then.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I know where you got that. And that cake couldn't have been as good as the cake over there at Sweet Creek.
Nowhere near it.
We got to go by Sweet Creek, man.
We need to set that up. I'd really love to do that.
And so, folks, whether it's to pick up groceries, Alabama-made goods, fresh produce, that cream corn just got in.
Right.
Ooh, that sweet cream corn. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic stuff. Peaches, I think, they just got in, too.
Got some tomatoes. near local.
Are you a tomato sandwich kind of guy?
You better believe it, buddy.
How about you, Joey?
I'm all down
tomato
on
sandwich?
Tomato
sandwich?
Come on.
I'll do a BLT, but just tomato sandwich?
No. Really?
Yeah.
What part of the South are you from?
No.
Here?
Okay.
Yeah, half the family's from New Jersey, so you can blame
another one, Scooby.
Blame it on the Polish. Yeah. It seems the rest of Eastern Europe is. But yeah, there at Sweet Creek, of course, sweets, great hot lunches with their Fall of the Bone ribs or great barbecue sandwiches. You can even stop by just for a caffeine boost there at the Roost, get a coffee or tea or even a milkshake, Eddie. Mm-hmm. You ever thought about getting one of those, like, or Sky with the ice cream? You ever think about getting, like, one of those big hubcap cookies and then breaking off a piece and dipping it into that ice cream or into that milkshake?
I've done that, yes.
Yeah?
Yes. And it's really good. It's towards the end, when it gets kind of melted a little bit, you break the cookie up in there more.
See, you can do all of this there at Sweet Creek, folks. And I just love how you're looking pretty good these days, Eddie, but I love how much of a fat boy he is at heart.
He makes it work.
He's at home at Sweet Creek. Yeah. Come on that cookie there. So y'all check him out today. And if you want in on the drawing, you got to let us know on air. But be sure to tell Reed and Karen Ingram that you heard about him here on News and Views Afternoon. More News and Views after this break.
Stop playing with it.
Joey Clark.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
Picture this. A serene, tranquil resting place surrounded by nature's beauty. A place where memories are cherished and loved ones are forever remembered. We're talking about your final resting place, and it's never too early to start planning for it. Pine View Memorial Gardens in Wetumpka has been family-owned and operated for over 55 years. We understand the importance of pre-need planning. You can make decisions that reflect your personal wishes. Choose the perfect location, whether it's a serene garden, a peaceful mausoleum, or a place in our cremation wall. Pre-need planning also alleviates the burden from your loved ones during a time of grief. By planning ahead, you can secure today's prices, protecting yourself and your family from future cost increases. So why wait? Contact Pineview Memorial Gardens in Wetumpka today. Your final resting place should be a reflection of your unique journey. Take control of your future and make pre-need planning a priority. Pineview Memorial Gardens in Wetumpka, where memories live on.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Our partnership with Blue Water Broadcasting has reached thousands of listeners in the River Region. People listen. People call. Now, there's mortgage savings for us all.
Did you know that radio is the number one reach platform in all of media? It's true. Call us to find out how to put radio's number one reach to work for your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks, helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpets, where you will find a complete line of Mohawk carpet with exceptionally clean, smart strand fiber. It's always available and ready to be installed. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. No big surprises. Another hot with a little bit more humidity in the air and a good bit of sunshine. There will be spotty, scattered, random storms, especially in the afternoon and evening hours, fading out at night, low tonight down to about 68. Tomorrow, there will be a more generous supply of those hit-or-miss afternoon and evening storms. Still random, but more active on the radar. High tomorrow, 91, and then upper 80s on Friday. We may get a little break from the storms for a day or two. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Web Bobo with Capital Tractor. The more acres you own, the more you need Kubota's M7060. Strength, durability, and reliability with performance matching implements in stock. For hay work, bush hogging, or general maintenance, Kubota and Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
Is your cell phone or iPad cracked, broken, or not working right?
Don't let the big carrier stores sucker you into a new $1,100 device. Let XI Repair fix your device today. XI Repair fixes cell phones, computers, laptops, iPads, game consoles, drones, and more. Their certified technicians fix hundreds of devices every day. When your device needs care, call XI Repair, 334-777-1234, or Google XI Repair.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back. The News and Views afternoon. This part of the program brought to you by River Region Contracting.
Oh, and I had a knife too.
Yeah, keep it off air, all right?
Just keep it ready. I'm ready.
Hey, Eddie, didn't River Region Contracting help you?
Yes, they did.
Really?
They came out to my house, climbed up on my roof for absolutely free, told me, you might be okay, but you might want to, put some new screws in. And then he showed me why. Showed me some busted gaskets I had. And, of course, I'm like, well, I'm not going to go up there and do it. And you're already here. You're a good enough guy. You showed up on time. You did what you said you was going to do. How about you guys knock it out? Literally, I think 2 days they were done.
Wow. Yeah, they also redid Jack Campbell's roof, which is an asphalt roof, so they can do both, folks.
Sure.
And so here's the deal. You need to have that roof checked out every few years. And what's great is if you don't have a problem, they come and inspect your roof, and they say, no problems, it's free.
Absolutely free.
Their estimates, also if they do find a problem, an estimate to fix it, free. They're also insurance specialists, so they can walk you through that claims process. So the insurance company actually ponies up the money that
they've
you've
been... several of my clients with that.
You know, when you pay for that policy, you don't want to run around from your insurance company. They do it all there at River Region Contracting. So check them out today. 356-8635 is that number. 356-8635. And be sure to tell Todd Clark and his team there at River Region Contracting, well, that Joey and Eddie from News and Views sent you. Now, yesterday, we were talking with Judge Andrew Napolitano, and I asked him, I was a little surprised when he said the guy he's watching is a man he disagrees with on pretty much everything politically, but they're both from New Jersey, and they've known each other for 30 years. He's talking about, of course, Chris Christie, and of course, I, for years, have been referring to him as his rotundity.
Because he's a large marge.
Yes, but here's Christie yesterday targeting Donald Trump, and this is what Napolitano revealed to us. He said Christie is running to go for Trump's jugular. Even if he doesn't win, I think Christie is a personal element to this.
Really?
Yes. And that's what a gleam from what Judge Knapp was telling me yesterday. Mm-hmm. So let's listen in. This was Christie yesterday at his announcement.
If your leaders are not willing to admit to you that they're fallible, that they make mistakes, that they hurt like you, that they bleed like you, and that they suffer disappointments and letdowns, beware. Beware of the leader in this country who you have handed leadership to, who has never made a mistake, who has never done anything wrong, who when something goes wrong, it's always someone else's fault, and who has never lost.
I wonder who he's talking about.
I've lost. You people did that to me in 2016.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All of you. And I have two of my children here tonight who remind me of that all the time. They said, you're going back to New Hampshire? They beat you. But beware of the leader who won't admit any of those shortcomings. Because you know what the problem is with a leader like that? A leader like that thinks America's greatness resides in the mirror he's looking at. I believe that America's greatness resides out there, among all of you. And that any of us who get the opportunity to serve are merely temporary stewards of that greatness, who just want an opportunity to make it a little bit greater. And if you can't admit to the people you want to lead that you're not going to be perfect, and if you decide that the people who you ask to come with you to lead will always be the ones who are blamed when anything goes wrong, that they'll be called names, that they'll be dismissed, and that after they leave your service, they're nothing but idiots. Beware.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, very clearly going right for Donald Trump. But apparently the Trump campaign has responded with a video of their own here. Oh my goodness. No. They did not do this. No, they did not. Okay, we're looking at pretty much the same video, folks, but they've superimposed. Let's just listen to it at first.
And it was about our country and its future. And I wondered what our choice was going to be.
Lots of choices.
Were we going to be small?
No.
Or were we going to be big?
Big. Oh, man. That's brutal.
Okay, folks. The clip, it's what he said there is not that funny on its own. But what we're seeing here is pretty much the same exact video. It's like this town hall setting that you just heard. And instead of just the video, they've been superimposed. It's like Christie's holding a plate, breakfast buffet plate, mm-hmm. piled. Would you say it's piled high, fat boy?
Pretty good, yeah. That's pretty good in there.
And then on, say, the bottom third, it looks like Christie's standing in front of a huge buffet.
Yeah, I see onion rings, ribs, french fries, fried chicken.
And that's what he says.
And it was about our country and its future. And I wondered what our choice was going to be. Were we going to be small or were we going to be big?
That's just... Yep. Man.
Brutal. We'll see what America decides. Oh, let's go to Red Top. Hey, Red Top.
You know, we can't afford to have a president that big. First of all, we'd never be able to feed his fat ass. And, what a pathetic slob, guys. He wants to look in the mirror at who's running the country and look at himself. And on the View this morning, they chewed him up. Inside and out. You know what I mean? Christie's got nothing. And he's kind of insulting and nobody likes it. And Mike Pence is the opposite of nothing.
Yeah, we'll get to Pence announcement video in the next hour here.
Let me tell you something about Mike Pence. I saw an interview with two of the Republicans that were going to present very credible evidence to not certify the election on January 6th. And they had lots of documentation, and they were ready to go, and they thought they could have held it up. They said Mike Pence, being the wuss he is, and I guess his wife wasn't next to him, so that made him even more scared at January 6th. And he just completely freaked out and did not accept anything but to go ahead and certify the election. And these guys were pissed off. Mike Pence has got no gut. Christie has got too much gut. And I'm very surprised Napolitano said what he said about him. He said, the judge sounded really sick today. Is he okay?
No, he's fine, and I'm not surprised, and they don't agree on much, but when you've known somebody for 30 years, and you've worked together, I think Christie was involved in politics when the judge was on the Supreme Court of New Jersey, you kind of go with the Homer.
God, that's a pitiful Homer. I'm really scared Napolitano said that because he's usually very aware. But
wait, some redneck who's worldly. I know you're worldly, but some redneck doesn't like some Italian from New Jersey. I'm shocked.
I